家庭类 6.5 至9分范文。家庭类范文一。
Team activities can teach children more life skills than activities that are done alone. To what extent do you agree or disagree? I agree that team activities such as team sports and group discussions can help children to develop important life skills. However, I do not think that these activities are always more helpful in developing children's life skills than activities done alone. Children can learn many things by cooperating with their peers during team activities. To solve problems together, they need to communicate and discuss solutions with their teammates. Their communication and team-building skills can be improved through this process. These skills are very important to their future lives and career success. Children can also gain conflict resolution skills through team activities. When they study, work, or play with other children as a team, disagreements or arguments may occur among team members. But they can learn to be more tolerant and solve their differences or conflicts peacefully if they try to achieve the common goal of the team. On the other hand, only encouraging children to do team activities may reduce children's ability to complete tasks by themselves. Activities that are done alone, such as homework and projects done individually, require them to keep things organized, manage their time properly, and solve problems independently. Doing these activities alone also increases children's confidence in their own skills and improves their sense of responsibility. In conclusion, I agree that team activities can teach important life skills to children, especially the skills of communication and cooperation. However, the skills needed to achieve their goals on their own are also essential to children's development and their future lives. Learning, working, and living independently are important life skills, and a healthy sense of competition should be encouraged among children.
People in the same family are not as close as before. Some people think we should return to traditional family values. Do you agree or disagree?
Most of us are busy with our own studies, work, or other activities every day. As a result, we are not as closely connected with our family members as before. Some people suggest that we should return to traditional family values to solve this problem. Personally, I believe that society and its values should further develop and evolve. Returning to traditional values is not the right direction. Many concepts representing the traditional family values are no longer compatible with the modern lifestyle. In the past, people in traditional families obeyed rules blindly and compromised their individuality to ensure family harmony, which was regarded as the basic requirement for survival, at a time where there was little social change. However, nowadays people who lack initiative and creativity may face difficulties when they look for jobs, because most employers today value active minds and innovative ideas.
People who follow traditional family values may also live more stressful lives than others, because they have to conform to the expected roles for them and do not dare to say no to their elders.
The real ideas hidden at their heart may make them feel insecure or even depressed.
I agree that traditional family values gives us stronger family bonds, which makes family feel like a safe haven for its members.
Children living in such families would know how to behave properly. However, I find it hard to imagine that the members of a family can enjoy family life fully if they cannot even freely express their own feelings. Overall, although I agree that we should uphold some traditional family values, such as respect for elderly parents and relatives, I believe we should also appreciate the individuality of family members and encourage open communication between them. In today's competitive world, many families find it necessary for both parents to go out to work. While some people think that the children in these families gain benefits, others feel this trend is negative. Discuss both views and give your own opinion.
Today, more families have both parents working. People have different opinions about the effects of this trend on the children in these families. Some people think that having both parents work is beneficial to children. They argue that the dual income family today earns much more than the single income family of a generation ago. As a result, children with two working parents can enjoy a higher standard of living. For example, they can afford popular electronic devices, including tablets and iPods. The extra wealth of their parents also allows them to gain more experiences from life, such as taking overseas trips. However, many other people are concerned that children may not get enough attention and emotional support if both their parents work. These children are less likely to do well at school because there is not enough help from their busy parents with their homework or preparation for exams. Parental involvement also results in positive emotional reaction from children. Spending less time with their working parents may make children more likely to develop antisocial behaviour, such as bullying and damaging private property. My own opinion is that modern lifestyles have made it necessary for both parents to work. I also believe when parents feel financially secure, they can have more energy to devote to their children. Therefore, although working parents may not be able to spend more time with their children, they can spend higher quality time with their children. Nevertheless, whenever possible, working parents should be actively involved in the academic and social activities of their children and try to create a friendly and understanding environment at home, rather than always leave their children with a babysitter or other caregivers. Some people think that elderly people should live with their children, while others think that they should live in nursing homes. Discuss both these views and give your own opinion.
The proportion of elderly people in the population has been rising rapidly. Whether they should live with their children or live in nursing homes is an issue that concerns many families. Some people think that elderly people should live with their children. They believe that elderly parents made many sacrifices for their children. Adult children have the moral responsibility to care for their elderly parents. It is also easier for them to communicate with their parents frequently if their parents live with them. Furthermore, healthy elderly parents can help their busy adult children by preparing meals or taking care of their grandchildren. They can also share their knowledge and life experience with their grandchildren or even help with homework, which not only helps their grandchildren to grow intellectually and socially, but also gives elderly people regular mental stimulation to keep their mind active and agile. Some other people believe that elderly people should live in nursing homes. They think that elderly people have care needs that their busy adult children do not have the time to meet. Nursing homes employ trained carers, qualified nurses and first aiders who can provide elderly people with professional personal care and important medical services. However, many elderly people who move into nursing homes feel unwanted by their family. The cost of living in a nursing home is also much higher than that of living with their children. My opinion on this issue is that if an elderly person is generally healthy, he or she should live with the rest of the family. However, If he or she needs nursing care on a frequent basis, then living in a nursing home would be more beneficial. At the same time, their family members should visit them regularly to show love and support. Some people think that external influences play a more important role in children's lives than parents. To what extent do you agree or disagree?
I tend to believe that whether external influences are greater than parental influence on children's lives depends on children's ages. Parents have the greatest impact on the development of infants and very young children. Infants and toddlers almost exclusively rely on their parents for food, affection, and encouragement. Without sufficient parental care, even their survival would be difficult. Very young children also naturally imitate how their parents do things and how their parents interact with others. What their parents say and do is, therefore, the most important guidance for children at the early stage of childhood. However, after children start school, their teachers and peers begin to play a crucial role in developing their cognitive skills and shaping their character and personality. Children learn how to read, write, calculate, and observe things from their teachers in classrooms. At school, children also begin to develop some of the most important friendships in their lives and learn to cooperate with their peers. The community that children live in is also very influential in the social development of school-aged children. Their neighbours expect polite behaviour from them, and they participate in community activities such as fundraising events and volunteer work, which makes them more socially helpful. In addition, school-aged children are powerfully influenced by the mass media, through which they receive updated information and enjoy various forms of entertainment. The mass media are so influential in children's development that children's exposure to violence in the media is often linked to the increase in the rate of youth crime. In conclusion, parental influence is the most important influence on children in the early stages of children's growth. However, once children start school, their lives will be more influenced by their teachers, peers, communities, and the mass media. In many countries, schools have severe problems with student behavior. What are the causes of this? Suggest some solutions.
Poor student behaviour seems to be an increasingly widespread problem, and I think that modern lifestyles are probably responsible for this. In many countries, the birth rate is decreasing, so that families are smaller with fewer children. These children are often spoiled, not in terms of love and attention, because working parents do not have the time for this, but in more material ways. They are allowed to have whatever they want, regardless of price, and to behave as they please. This means that the children grow up without consideration for others and without any understanding of where their standard of living comes from. When they get to school age, they have not learnt any self-control or discipline. They have less respect for their teachers and refuse to obey school rules in the way that their parents did. Teachers continually complain about this problem, and measures should be taken to combat the situation. But I think the solution to the problem lies with the families, who need to be more aware of the future consequences of spoiling their children. If they could raise them to be considerate of others and to be social, responsible individuals, the whole community would benefit. Perhaps parenting classes are needed to help them to do this, and high-quality nursery schools could be established that would support families more in terms of raising the next generation. The government should fund this kind of parental support, Because this is no longer a problem for individual families, but for society as a whole. Some people think that fatherhood ought to be emphasized as much as motherhood. To what extent do you agree or disagree?
I believe that child rearing should be the responsibility of both parents and that, while the roles within that partnership may be different, they are equal in importance. In some societies, it has been made easier over the years for single parents to raise children on their own. However, this does not mean that the traditional family, with both parents providing emotional support and role models for their children, is not the most satisfactory way of bringing up children. Of crucial importance, in my opinion, is how we define responsible for bringing the children up. At its simplest, it could mean giving the financial support necessary to provide a home, food and clothes, and making sure the child is safe and receives an adequate education. This would be the basic definition. There is, however, another possible way of defining that part of the question. That would be to say that it is not just the father's responsibility to provide the basics for his children, while his wife is busy with the everyday activity of bringing them up. Rather, he should share these daily duties, spend as much time as his job allows with the children, play with them, read to them, help directly with their education, participate fully in their lives, and encourage them to share his. It is this second, fuller concept of fatherhood that I am in favour of, although I also realise how difficult it is to achieve sometimes. The economic and employment situation in many countries means that jobs are getting more, not less, stressful, requiring long hours and perhaps long commutes to work as well. Therefore, equality in parenting roles may remain for many a desirable ideal rather than an achievable reality.
Some parents buy their children a large number of toys to play with. What are the advantages and disadvantages for the child of having a large number of toys?
It is true that many parents purchase a multitude of playthings for their offspring. Whether or not this is a good thing for the child is a moot point. On the face of it, the advantages seem most apparent, but could there be a downside to this phenomenon of devoted parenting as well? Most people would consider children who have many toys to be the fortunate ones. Interesting things to play with stimulate many positives in the young boy or girl, such as brain development, hand-eye coordination, and colour recognition, apart from the simple joy of playing. Modern toys are designed to be educational as well as fun, and parents carefully select products which might speed their child's acquisition of numbers or the alphabet. Is it possible that owning multiple toys could be in any way detrimental to a child? This is an unusual question, but there are some hidden pitfalls. For one, wealthy parents might spoil their son or daughter by showering him, her, with toys, resulting in a negative effect on the child's character. For another, a growing child's concentration span may suffer if they are constantly surrounded by too many tempting objects, so that they become unable to focus on one game for a decent length of time before being distracted. On the social side, older children may become targets of envy from classmates, if they are perceived as having far more possessions than their peers. Finally, the majority of toys today are made of plastic, containing the chemical BPA,
proven to be dangerous for infants to suck on. It is clear that this situation is not as straightforward as it first appears. It would seem that one of the many duties of parents is to make an informed choice about how many toys they buy for their young ones.